16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
Groupe Nao is an agency of curious people who work with change in tourism, in culture, urban and community development. They are based in Copenhagen, but their clients are everywhere in the world. I'm very happy to have one of the co-founders, Peter Reumer Hansen, here in 60 Minutes of Care.
Welcome, Peter. Happy to be here. Peter. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit. You're Danish, right?
That's, I'm Danish.
I came here specifically because I want to learn from the Scandinavian people. Finland is the world's happiest country for the sixth year in a row. And the second country is Denmark. There's this world happiness ranking. Belgium is only the 17th spot. What is happening in the Nordics that all of you are so happy, or most of you are so happy?
Oh, I think that's a long discussion. It could be climate change, warming up, more summer, I don't know. But basically, I think it's just essentially, I think it's security in life, social security, and democratic freedom. I'd like to think that is the explanation why Danes are comparatively happy people.
So the state takes good care of its people.
Yes,
you could say it like that.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. It's a well balanced
life. And there is
a
big level of trust with many people. I mean, in Denmark we have issues like in many other nations with our political elite and stuff. But basically, overall, I think there is a contract between most people in Denmark that we like community. We also like to, I shouldn't say, pay taxes, because we believe what we get in return is a good life. Mm-hmm. And it's education, it's healthcare and all of that. So, and I think that's the contract we have with each other and not just the state.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. The CARE principles about taking care of people and the planet, and it starts internally by taking better care of your employees. Mm-hmm. You don't need to shout it out to the outside world. Start internally. You have a small agency, 8 people work for you. How do you take care of your employees?
I think we are a very flexible workplace. We have many different contracts and associations. So if you want to be part-time, if you want to have an MBA, if you want to be associated and do something else on the side as your own company, you can do that. And I think this, you don't have to be in the office. You can choose when you want to come. Of course, it's mandatory that we sometimes meet and do things. But we do that very collaboratively, and we're very flexible. But we don't have a very big office. And so you can work from home, and you can work from abroad, and you can, if you're traveling, you can work there. So I think we have very, very loose structures, also with our titles and stuff.
Is that necessary? Because I assume you have all ages in your employees, or more younger people?
We have more younger people. I'm the age president. I would say we have people just out of college and out of university, about 3 or 4 of those, and then people in their 30s and 40s.
And younger people, they really demand that now from employers to be work in a flexible way?
I'm not sure. I think some young people really like structure, and they have this anticipation of getting starting in their careers. They have a need for colleagues and for routine structures and maybe also doing career. But my experience is that the people that we have employed are very happy with the flexibility also for exams or personal projects or whatever. And it's not always easy sometimes, but I think, I believe there's a reward in the other end. I worked at many agencies before, also, you know, where you have to register your hours down to 10 minutes and bill the client on that and stuff. And so where you have very strict evaluations of what you do, and points, and you score each other and stuff. We don't do that. We have what we think are meaningful conversations. We try to have meetings on the walk and that kind of thing, so we can go for city walk and talk and stuff like that. So it's very, I think it's very informal actually.
That's nice. We already talked about collaboration, but there is another example of collaboration I would like to discuss with you. It's about one of the projects you worked on. It's a power plant here in Copenhagen, North Harbour District. Could you explain a little bit what it's about and how did you collaborate on that project?
Yes, we did. We have a beautiful old power plant in Copenhagen. It's sitting right on the Northern Harbour, and it's been in operation since the 1950s. And now it's been taken out of service, and so it's being converted into something else. The question is what? And there are sort of three main buildings, and it's already been decided that one of them will be a new science museum. Very ambitious, beautiful place, fantastic plants.
It's not open yet.
It's not open yet. It's still fundraising. And the plant is not closed yet. It will close in 25.
Okay.
Then the conversion will happen. And so the Science Museum will take one of the blocks. And so the question is the two others. And it has to create synergy. So what we did is that we looked at this this estate for the owners, which was the city of Copenhagen, essentially, and the power company, Ørsted. And look at, so what is meaningful in this neighborhood? What is meaningful for the planet? And what is meaningful in relation to the Science Museum? And so this, so that it just wouldn't be two entirely different or three things in this building. So we came up with the idea that it should be a co-working community on climate issues and green transition. So we talked to a lot of different clusters and universities and companies in Denmark to evaluate this idea and to see, does that have a potential? What impact could that be? Who would we be collaborating with? Essentially making partnerships, also looking at business models, how to run a place like this in collaboration with international hubs elsewhere in the world. So I think we looked at 41 different hubs around the world to see what this concept could be. We also had an idea to look at new technologies in there. There's one big dark room in the middle of the plant, very difficult to develop because of the physical conditions. And the idea was to do vertical farming in there because it has an entire robot industry. And that would be sort of in dark rooms, you know, with grow lights and stuff, and where you grow up to 14 stories high, and you have these robots essentially spraying water on the plants. And we call that power plants because it was in a power plant. And so that idea is also in the making, but I don't know where that's going.
The second shift in the CARE principles, it's all about agility. It's about flexibility, but also about mental resistance. The people you work with, you said that they are in general younger. How do you help them with their mental resistance? Is that something that you feel that is different with this generation than generations before?
No, it's a good question. I struggle with my own mental flexibility sometimes because I think the older I get, the more you tend to think you know everything and you kind of feel locked into doing things in a certain way. So this, for me, I keep reminding myself that I have to be open and have to try new approaches and learn every day I go to work. So for me, it's a gift to work with younger people because I find an energy and inspiration and also curiosity in that. And we've had so many jobs and so many clients where we were really challenged, to be honest, and say, wow, this is a total new area. What do I know about indigenous cultures in the Rocky Mountains or something like that? And we have to learn really, really fast. And but I just enjoy that. And I think this it's a little, you have to be a daredevil a little bit sometimes it's been too much, to be honest also, but I think that as a company, we have that culture that we really want to take on things. Mm-hmm. And I think, and try to think bigger, bolder, but also look for new ways of doing things. Finding inspiration from other sectors, mm-hmm. and other methodologies. And I think specifically I like to work with anthropologists, actually, because I find that they have these optics on the world, because they are constantly trained, they're trained to look for meaning and connections. And so the way they frame that, talk about it, and interpret the world, I love that. And I think they have fantastic view on things, very analytical and sometimes very soft, but very meaningful to us.
Yeah, that's true. The R of care stands for reliability. I would like to talk with you because you work a lot in innovation, the impact of, for instance, artificial intelligence on our industries. Mm. How do you see that? And there's a lot of fake news today, but also any text or any picture or anything can be created today by computers. How do you see the evolution of that, and how do you think it will impact our industry?
Like everyone else, I'm totally amazed with the recent sort of evolution of what we've seen. I've also become a user in many ways, and I keep learning, and I'm still amazed, what it can do. I try to adopt it in my work, and we talk a lot about it at our company. We are launching a program very soon, called Eye-Opener for destinations and in tourism. And because we really want to explore where this can go. At the same time, I'm very, very worried, and that we are heading into a sea of just a tsunami of fakeness. And we're going to see that in travel reviews, we're going to see it in travel writing, we're going to see it in politics, we're going to see it many, many places. And I find this to be really disturbing, and I think we need to have a very, very good look at how we can regulate, mm-hmm. On an international level, mm-hmm. Because I think this is beyond anything we've seen before.
Yeah. Fascinating and scaring at the same time,
it
right?
Is.
Yeah, I agree. And finally, the E of care stands for empathy. Mm. Empathy, I would like, it can be, of course, for the people and planet. And I would like to discuss with you how you feel about empathy for local inhabitants. Because when you work in tourism, and we discussed about this, it used to be about growing and attracting more people to come and visit a town or a country or whatever. But very often it was at the cost of local inhabitants. Mm. How do you feel about showing empathy for locals?
Well, first of all, I think it's a massive trend in the market. And I can say that because we just finished a big trend study in global travel. And basically what we did is that we reviewed almost 100 other trend stories and reports and market surveys, that kind of thing. And we did, I think it was 40 interviews with experts and thought leaders in the industry. And what came across was that there is a new, very strong interest in transformative travel, where you're really curious on people and place, and you want to know the culture, and you're looking for authentic experiences, and not just sort of staged commercial offerings. But it's very much about being in contact with yourself, with other people and the place, and learning about other cultures. So there is a change in the market. It's not that it wasn't there before COVID, but it's really, really strong right now. And that goes in almost all surveys, also the big surveys like bookings.com. They did more than 30,000 interviews, and something that's coming up as a really, really, in more than 30 countries as a strong trend. And I also see it among cities and destinations. There's a change. And it's from the sort of the consumer is king to citizen is king and community is king. And the question is not so much anymore what can cities do for more tourism. It's more like what can tourism do for the city, mm-hmm. also meaning the place. So it's reversed. And so the tourism strategies that we see now are putting community first. And even when you develop strategies as a city or a destination, the question is, what kind of tourism do we want? And the only way you can answer that is to invite people to co-create with you. And I think that creates a lot of empathy for each other. And it also comes out that we have a lot of empathy for the place. We always do a strength thing. Sometimes when we start workshops with citizens and communities, we have a little exercise in the beginning we call love of place, where people shall go to the board, tell us about the place you love here, your personal place, that space that you have that no one else knows. And no matter if you are in the outskirts, if you're in this place where nothing happens, or you're in an amazing place in the Rocky Mountains, people really have fantastic stories to tell. How they connect with the place, how they connect with each other, and how they love to go morning swimming and dipping and talking to their neighbors and stuff. That always amazes me, mm-hmm. that there's so much empathy and so much love of place and interest in the people that you meet in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Final question, Peter. When you think about care for people and care for the planet and doing business, with your business creating a positive impact on people and planet, do you believe that that is a trend that is growing as well? You've been in the industry for a long time.
I think it is, and I think I see all the major players have very, very meaningful programs. I mean, big hotel chains, credit card owners, airline companies. I think there is a trend right now moving into regenerative travel, sustainable strategies, people strategies, and it's across the board. And I see a lot of flexibility and a lot of creativity out there also. How you can, as a traveler, save water consumption in hotels, or you can calculate your carbon footprint and stuff like that, or you can interact with local communities. So there's so much creativity out there. You can even go plastic fishing in the canals of Amsterdam as a touristic experience. And so I think there's change and grounds for optimism still, even though it's the curves are still in the big picture going the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much, Peter. Great to have been here with me.
Thank you.
This is the final episode with Peter Reumer Hansens, and I would like to thank you for watching and thank you for listening. Take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves and by sharing it in your network. Thank you and take care.